Nina?
Good morning. It's my turn. Hallelujah. I always get afraid I'm going to burn myself on that. God is good. And all the time. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I know that Pastor Eric just prayed, but I'm going to pray again. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this day that you have made. And we declare right now that we will rejoice. We will be glad in it, for you are a wonderful, victorious, and worthy God. And Lord, we just thank you for your word that is going forth this morning, that it will accomplish its purpose in us today. We ask, Lord, just for fresh manna from heaven, Lord, something new that we will all receive. We prepare our hearts and our minds to be open to receive what you have for us today. We've come expecting, and we open our mouths wide to your good things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, one more announcement before I forget. Any of you that are going to camp next month, to Camp Awakening, we need to have your paperwork in by this Wednesday. We have to send it out before 3 o'clock on Wednesday, so that way it gets there in a timely manner, and we are sure to have our spots. So if you did not bring your paperwork today, please get it to Mitch or myself before 3 o'clock on Wednesday, so we can make sure that it is out. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good. He's so good. I've been thinking a lot about the church, and the church, you know, the body of Christ. You know, how Eric had just read how there's different parts of the body, and yet they all function together. They all have one purpose. You know, to move and to live and to grow and to be together. And that really spoke to me what Pastor Eric was saying about the appendix. Sometimes you may feel in church like you're the appendix. Like, what good am I? I'm just there. I'm just here, you know. Nobody would really miss me if I'm gone. But it has a function. You know, when Eric was talking about that, Mitch and I both, we both have medical backgrounds, so right away we're like, well, what does it do? I mean, doesn't it build, you know, it makes bile and it does antibodies and whatever. And everything has a function. And whether you feel like, maybe you feel like you're the appendix and I'm just here, you have a function. And when you hurt, we hurt. When you are, you know, that's all I can say is that we need you and we love you. And we are the church. We are the church. Regardless of what physical church you go to, the word describes us as the body of Christ. We are united together. And so I've been thinking about that a lot recently. And last year, there's an event that happens around town once a month called Youth United, and it's, you know, different churches coming together to worship, to fellowship, and the focus is the young people of our community. And there was one time last year where all of the worship teams from these different churches that were involved all mixed up. Like, there was 5 different teams, but everybody on the team were from different churches. So I didn't have anybody from our church that was in our group. It was all different people, which was really a cool experience and opportunity. And one night we were praying at another church in town, Bethel, and just practicing, and God planted something in me that I've just been chewing on, you know, like put gum in your mouth and you chew it and you chew it and you chew it. And I had been asking God for a long time, like, God, what is my purpose? You know, what am I doing? Like, sometimes I just feel like I'm here. Like Eric was saying, like the appendix, I'm just, you know, I'm just here. What am I doing? And on May 6th, 2013, he spoke to me and he said, this is your passion. This is your purpose, to rise up and build the church. Not a church, the church. The church. What is the church? We are the church. We are his people together. And so that's been really, really, really been on my heart about building us up together. Well, we all know that it's getting hotter, now, okay? Even in church, like now we have our fans going. It's hot. It's summertime. Hot, hot, hot. The last few days have just been so hot. And with the heat is swimsuit season, vacation season, you know, all these things that are going on. And Mitch and I have been trying to make some positive changes in our lifestyle, making healthier choices when it comes to food, healthier choices with portion size and exercising and all the things that, you know, you're supposed to do, right? So to be healthy. So as I was preparing for this message, what I think about the most at this point in time is I think a lot about food, okay? I think a lot about food, you know, and which isn't a bad thing. We all like food. We like food. We like to eat. I mean, we have how many restaurants here in town? We like to eat. And the last time I preached, I happened to give a message that had a lot to do with food as well. And I really, really like cooking shows. I like it because, you know, a lot of times they make stuff like, well, I'm never going to eat that, but that looks really cool, and it looks really interesting what you're doing. And in these cooking shows, how many of you watch any cooking shows? Okay, so a lot of us. And in these cooking shows, they make a big deal about food. Like, you know, you see the guy and they spoon like this tiny little drop and then they eat it and they're like, oh, the chemistry and la, la, la. And I would just be like, that's salty, you know, or whatever. Like, these guys are just so, like, artistic when it comes to, you know, their palates are just so advanced and they can taste the tiniest little hint of whatever. And I'm like, banana flavor. You know, I'm not that advanced, I suppose. But they make such a big deal about the food, the flavors, the ingredients, how they prepare things. And it was so funny because one cooking show, they were sitting there and they were eating this like fantastic meal and the portions are like this big, you know, and it's like, oh, the truffles and whatever. And one of the other guys at the table is like, isn't it funny because we make such a big deal about it, but really food is just feces in waiting. Sorry, I said feces. But it's true. We make such a big deal about what we put into our bodies and really it just comes out as waste anyways. We throw it away, you know? And let's turn in our Bibles. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't lose everybody. But let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 7, okay? I like to talk the way that I talk, so that's kind of, yeah. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 17. This is Jesus talking, okay? So, starting in verse 17, says, then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Verse 18, don't you understand either? Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through your stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. Verse 20, and then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. So Jesus said it too, okay, so, you know, we eat and it comes out. We put something in and it has to come out. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What is in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. So what we put in will eventually come out. Okay. I know there's some high schoolers. Anybody in high school or just graduated? I know there's a few of you that just graduated. Physics. Anybody took or take physics? Yes, I took physics, and in physics, you learn about the laws of existence. You have, you know, the law of conservation of mass, conservation of energy, those type of things. And the law of conservation of energy states that the total energy in a system, isolated system, cannot change. It is said to be conserved over time. Matter can neither be created or destroyed, but will change form. For instance, chemical energy can be converted into kinetic energy, which is motion, in the explosion of a stick of dynamite. So when we put stuff into us, like food, okay? So if we put in a banana doesn't come out, okay? We put something into us and it changes form, and we take all the nutrients out. It either becomes stored as, we process the sugars, and it'll be either used as quick energy, you know, like your carbohydrates, you use that for your bursting energies and stuff like that. Or if it's a lot of processed food, it gets stored as fat, a little nutritional whatever for you. But if we put something into us, it doesn't disappear. It either gets stored for later use or we use it right away, but eventually it'll come out. It will come out. So the question that I want to pose to you this morning is, what are we putting into ourselves? What kind of ingredients are we putting into ourselves, good or bad? Because eventually what we're putting in will come out. There will be a result of whatever's coming in, whatever stimulus or things that we're exposed to, there will be a result. So, you know, like a stick of dynamite, some of us, and I myself included, have maybe not reacted the best way to certain situations, and you may find yourself, you explode like a stick of dynamite, and it's like, well, what ingredients were put into me that made that reaction? You know, there was something in me, different things, that all of a sudden I reacted that way to that situation. So some of you may have heard the saying, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. Anybody? Sometimes there'd be donuts or something, and there was always a lady, she's like, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. And like, well, it's true. A lot of times we put stuff, it seems to me like I can eat one donut and I gain like 10 pounds. And Mitch can have like, you know, 5 Big Macs and like, that's it. He burns it off like the same day. I don't understand. But we are continually putting stuff into our spiritual bodies, whether we are putting in or we absorb it by the environment that we're in. But things are coming in, like what we look at, what we hear, what we accept, what people are saying to us, what we read. And we think that, you know, it doesn't matter, but it does. It really does affect us. Galatians 6:7, we've used, you know, this scripture before. I've used it many times. Let's turn there. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. That's God's way of doing things. Just like, you know, the law of conservation of energy. That if you put something in, it's not going to be destroyed. Something will happen because of it. So we will always harvest what we plant. We talk about this scripture a lot when we talk about giving, you know, and when we give, like when we give to people, we are going to reap blessings. Things will happen to us that will be a blessing to us, because that is God's law. When we bless other people, in turn, we will get a blessing back to ourselves. So then, in turn, we can bless more, and we get more and bless more. It's a cycle. And it's the same in, you know, with junk. If we're putting in junk, then we wonder why we can't control our mouth, or, you know, why we explode like a stick of dynamite when somebody cuts us off, you know, as we're driving or whatever. It's what is coming in will come out eventually. So how many of you have ever heard the expression of a closet eater? Anybody? Okay. A closet eater. We used to always make fun of, and I'm sorry if you listen to this, we used to always make fun of my dad, because we would call my dad a closet eater. Because, you know, if you know my dad, he's a very healthy guy. Like, growing up, he did a lot of bodybuilding and weightlifting, and like, he was the man. He was the man, you know, like he was all fit and whatever. And it was so funny because we would call him a closet eater because he would take us, like me and my sister, he'd take us to McDonald's and he'd say, "Oh, get whatever you want." And we would get like a McFlurry or something, and it's like, "Oh, Dad, you want one?" "Oh, no, 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 no. You know, I don't need that." But then we would be sitting there and it's like, "Well, here, let me just have a little taste." And then we'd be eating it, and then pretty soon it's like, "Well, here, let me have another taste." And then 2 minutes later, most of our McFlurry is gone, and me and Sonia are both like, "Come on, Dad, you know, what's the deal here?" He would like eat it, and then, but he would feel good because he didn't get the McFlurry. He didn't order it, but he still ate it, you know? And so closet eaters, we say, you know, they'll eat in secret. And they feel good because if somebody didn't see them, then it never happened. Yeah, I mean, if nobody knows, it never happened. And some of us do that to ourselves. You know, we can be like closet believers or closet Christians where, you know, we come to church, but then we go home and we're doing all this junk and reading all this junk and listening to all this junk. But if pastors don't know, or if, you know, so-and-so doesn't know about it, then never happened, right? But it did. It did. God is everywhere. He sees everything. It happened. Or people that exercise a lot. I know a lot of people that like to exercise a lot. But if you aren't eating right, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, what is a thing of French fries, like a million calories or something, and they say it's like you have to run 100 miles to work off like a little thing of French fries. That's not it. But something like that. It's ridiculous. Like, you can work so hard, and then if you eat junk, it's all down the toilet. So if we're not paying attention to what we're putting into us, all the work that we're doing is for naught. We have to be careful. Mark 4:22 says, "Whatever is kept secret will be brought to light eventually." So we may have an issue that's buried deep, 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 deep down. But if we never deal with it, eventually something is going to happen. Somebody's going to say something. We're going to be in some kind of situation where all of a sudden, like, word vomit is bleh, like, it just comes out. And you're like, "Where did that even come from?" Well, there was an issue that never got taken care of. There was a problem that never got taken care of. So working at different jobs over the years, you know, being in with people during breaks and, you know, whatever. It's funny because, like, sometimes you see people and they come in with such healthy meals. Like, there was a lady that I knew that, you know, she would always come in with, like, a thing of cottage cheese and tomatoes and really lean meat and just, like, this really nice meal, really healthy. She was always talking about how, like, she was on some kind of exercise or health deal or whatever, but it never seemed like she was getting any results, anything that she wanted. I mean, she was always like, "Well, you know, I haven't lost any weight," or whatever. And it was like, I was thinking about it, it's like, well, something is not right, because if you ate that way all the time, you would see results. But what was happening, and in her conversation, it would come up, like, she would have midnight snacks and go on eating binges in the middle of the night. And you know, instead of having a bowl of cereal, the bowl was like this big of cereal, you know. And there wasn't consistency to bring about results. So in relation to our Christian walk and our life with Christ, we can't just come to church once a month or read our Bible like when we're cleaning the house and we dust it off a little bit and read a couple verses and put it back, and then wonder why we aren't seeing the results that we want. We have to put in the time and be consistent. How Pastor Eric was saying, giving, when we give to God, it's not just money, it involves our time and our heart and everything that we have. And to really get results, we have to put in the effort and we have to be consistent. So it'd be like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot about health stuff because that's been what's on our minds and we've been talking about it a lot. But if you're wanting to lose weight, like the biggest loser, you know, those people lose like 200 pounds. It's crazy, like crazy, ridiculous, awesome. They lose like 16 pounds a week or whatever. I don't even know how they do that. But, you know, we can't expect to lose a huge amount of weight if we eat one or two salads a week and then every other night we're ordering McDonald's and getting all this stuff. When you eat a healthy meal, you feel proud of yourself. Like, when I eat a really healthy meal, I'm like, yeah. You know, like, I did good. Like, Mitch, we're getting healthy. And then, like, at dinner time, I'm like, I don't want to cook. Let's go get McDonald's, you know? And then it's like, pfft, that just went out the window. But we feel really good about ourselves at the moment. But then if we're just eating junk, you know, the salad may help to flush out whatever is in us, you know? And then if we're just eating junk the rest of the week, all that cock-a-doo-doo is just going to be piling back up in you again. And like, oh, I need a salad or whatever. But if we had been consistent the whole week, we wouldn't have that problem. If we are consistent with God, all of that junk's not going to pile up in us, okay? So, and then we wonder why we feel so spiritually constipated. If we spend time with God, he continually exposes and flushes things out of us. The word says that this is a two-edged sword, that it cuts between joint and marrow, that it exposes things in us. And so when we are continually spending time with God, it keeps us regular. It keeps us on the right path. It keeps everything flowing. And then we're ready for when situations come. Instead of being spiritually backed up and then all of a sudden something happens and we're looking, you know, for the quick fix, it's harder if we would just stay consistent. There was a picture. I use a Pinterest reference a lot. If you're online, there's a website called Pinterest, and I like it a lot. And it's basically just little ideas or whatever, a picture, and you just make this giant board, and it's all these things that you like. And there was one that I had seen that was really funny. It said, one burger won't make you fat, just like one salad won't make you skinny. So one good meal isn't going to make us fit, just like when we eat one bad meal, it's not going to make us fat either. We can't just come and have a healthy meal at church, and then what are we eating the rest of the week? So everybody's okay. We're all right. Okay, I know it's like eating and pooping and whatever. Sorry, but, you know, I used to complain all the time. I used to complain all the time to my mom. Like, she would get on me, like, you need to make your bed, and you need to pick up your room, and blah, blah, blah. Like, normal parent stuff, and now I do it with Sophia, so, you know, I understand. And I used to always tell her, why, Mom, why do I need to make my bed? I'm just going to sleep in it again tonight. And she's like, well, fine, why do I have to feed you if you're just going to poop anyways, you know? It's like, why do we do the same things if it's just going to happen over again? We eat daily, and hopefully we let it go daily, right? Maybe every other day, hopefully. But we spiritually eat daily too. Every day things are coming into us. We are experiencing things with our five senses, what we hear, what we see, you know, what the environment that we're in is coming into us. And we put things out spiritually too. So what we say, our attitude, you know, our facial expression. I mean, the Bible talks about having haughty eyes. I mean, you don't even have to say anything. You just, well, you know, like you can have a bad attitude and you don't even have to say one word. I mean, you know those people, like you can see them, they're walking like, I don't know what's wrong, but leave her alone. You know, we can put things out and affect other people without having to say a word. You know, other non-Christian things, they call it your aura, you know, the presence about you. What kind of presence do we have about us? And we have to watch out or we get spiritually constipated. And then, you know, you get all like, you know, and it's what's coming into us. If all we're putting is junk, then it makes it a lot harder for the good stuff to come out. So if we're daily putting, like physically, you know, your physical body, they say you should eat, you know, fruits and vegetables and have your fiber. And it's not a food, it's a food plate now, right? It's not a food. Anyways, you need all the different parts of food to be healthy. And it's the same way with us spiritually. If we're reading our Bible, listening to positive music, praying, spending time with God, you'll be amazed at how much easier the good stuff flows out and how much easier you can recognize and release the bad. Okay? So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The word says that. We read that in Luke. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we are putting in will come out. It will. Because God said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it'll come out. It has to. And it'll either be good or bad. So what's it going to be? When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about that VBS song. What's it going to be? Anyways, whatever. So we've talked about all this, right? Okay, so what we're putting into us, spiritual eating and releasing and whatever, okay, so we're okay. There's one huge, huge thing that people make a mistake with spiritually and physically when it comes to our health. Too many people don't know a huge secret. It's okay if you mess up. It's okay. If you eat one Big Mac, you are not going to be obese. If you slip up once, you are not going to go to hell. I'm telling you. And too many people give up trying to eat healthy because they have a bad meal and then they're like, bah, I can't do this and it's too hard and whatever. And then they have that guilt like, this is why I'm fat and I just can't control myself, so why don't even try and whatever. And it's the same. Too many people give up on God because when they mess up, they feel all that guilt and that shame and you're no good and all these things. And that's not God. That's not how he works. It's better to be trying and mess up than not try at all. It's better to be working on it and realize that, yeah, I slipped up, but I'm starting over and here we go. Jesus isn't waiting for you to be perfect before he'll start using you. He isn't waiting for you to be perfect. Otherwise, he wouldn't use any of us because none of us are perfect. He is not waiting for you to be perfect. He knows you. He knows your faults. And he will help you work through them. What did he say? Cast all your cares on me and I will give you rest. Not carry them and try to work them out yourself. Give them to me and I'll help you. I will help you. He wants you. He just wants you. He'll help you. So, and you know what? Small changes add up. Small changes add up. I was reading like nutritional information and it was Noah, the little baby that Mitch had, was holding. He had an appointment this past Wednesday with our pediatrician. And I'm in a really interesting group. It's like a group survey type thing where they're following Noah and like four other babies that were born within the same 2 weeks of each other. And we all go at the same time and meet with the doctor. And it's like a group study type thing. And every time we go, there's a nutritionist that comes from the University of Arizona and teaches on healthy choices and how to, you know, make good decisions for you and your baby. And this past time, she was talking about drinks because now it's hotter. We get thirsty. And, you know, just yesterday, I'm like, let's go to Circle K and 79 cents. You could get one this big, you know. And we went. We drank it. But they were talking about, like, the different drinks, and she would show us, she would have these little cards in it. She had, like, a, like, juice, and then she would show us, like, on the side, like, how many packets of sugar are in each little thing, and, like, ridiculous amount of sugars, and soda had, like, 12 packets or something ridiculous of, like, sugar per can of soda. And just FYI, just quick note, commercial lemonade is the worst as far as sugar. And I thought, well, I'm going to drink lemonade and you're drinking soda. You're bad. You know, and it's like, but commercial lemonade has the highest amount of sugar out of any commercial drink, just so you know. But one can of soda has like 12 packets of sugar in it, like crazy amount of sugar. And I was reading a study that if you drink 2 to 3 cans of soda each day, if you switch to water, you will lose almost 1 pound a week. If you switch, if you stop drinking your 2 cans of soda a day, you'll lose 1 pound a week. So that's 4 pounds every month, and that's 48 pounds a year. You could lose 48 pounds in a year just by switching to water. That doesn't include exercise or anything else. But that small change adds up. It adds up. I mean, 48 pounds a year, that's significant. That's a significant amount of weight. And it's the same thing with us in our spiritual life. Sometimes we see this picture like we overwhelm ourselves with the grandness of whatever. Like people, I keep going back to weight loss, but you know, like you want to lose 40 pounds and that 40 pounds just seems so huge. But if you break it down and it's like, okay, we're going to go by 5. I just want to lose 5. And then when you lose that 5, go to the next 5. If we did that same thing with God, it would make it so much easier because God is easy. He doesn't make things hard for us. He wants it to be easy. He said, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're the ones that keep piling and piling more on. As Mitch and I have been in ministry trainings and gone to seminars and conventions and whatever, there was something that stuck with us that we've tried to implement to this day. And they were talking about how ministers and ministries, you try to do everything and everything comes out like caca. Because, you know, if you try to do everything, you can't do anything well. So what he said, and this is John Coates, by the way, who all you guys are going to Camp Awakening, this is from him. He said, pick 3 things that you can do well and that you can do consistently. 3 things, and focus on those 3 things, and you will see your ministry change and grow, and then you can move on to other stuff. So with us in youth group, we picked 3 things. Every service, we would pray. Every service, we would give a message. And every service, we would play a game or have an activity. 3 things that we can do consistently and 3 things that we can do well. And you know what? It took the pressure off. And so if we tried to do something like that in our lives, pick 3 things. Every day, I'm going to read 1 chapter out of the Bible. Every day, I'm going to spend 10 minutes in prayer with God. Every day, I'm going to, whatever, you can pick something. But if we do them well and consistently, they begin to be easier and easier. And then pretty soon, we're leveling up. It's like, you know what, I'm gonna read 2 chapters today, or I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer, and it just starts to become natural. So what I want to stress this morning is don't give up just because you messed up. Don't give up just because you messed up. You know, we mess up. We do. We mess up. But start over and try again. Start over and try again. We eat horrible stuff and then we give up on trying to be healthy because of the guilt and whatever. No, if you mess up, forgive yourself and do better the next meal. Forgive yourself and move on. Do better next time. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 18. Okay. Oh, wow, I didn't even realize that. Cool. Bible's cool. All right, Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to him, being Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7. So what he was saying was that always, always, always. But Jesus wouldn't ask or tell Peter to do something that he wasn't already doing. He forgives us. The blood is enough. The blood is enough. Is it an excuse to sin? No. I am not saying, you know, just go ahead and do whatever because God's going to forgive you anyways. No. But when we mess up and we just feel that guilt, like, I did it again, and I've been trying to work on this, and I don't know why this keeps happening. He says, it's okay. Stand up and do better next time. Stand up. Let's go. Do better next time. So when you mess up, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and do better next time. Pastor Eric gave a message on Wednesday that was really good, and if you weren't here, please listen to it. It was about the Holy Spirit and spending time with the Spirit. And, you know, if you have experience, you know, if you've been in the Christian church long, you've probably heard us use the scriptures that refer to the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, all those wonderful things. But when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, it produces stuff in us. It produces fruit. If we spend time with him, we will produce the fruits of the Spirit. It's just a natural thing. If we spend more time with God, we become more like him, and then we start to act and say and do things more like him. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that bad company corrupts good character. So the way that God designed our spirits was to be in fellowship with him, to be open and responsive to stimulus. And so when we are connected with him, our spirit is open and receiving from that. But then when we're around bad company, when we're around bad influences, we absorb and collect those things as well. But if you also want to flip that around, if bad company corrupts good character, good company strengthens and builds good character. So we become a product of whatever we spend most time with. That's how, you know, God designed us. We're adaptable. Like, we don't all live in one climate. There's people that live, you know, if you see that show, Alaska, The Last Frontier, or whatever. That's crazy. I don't want to live there. You know, I am adapted and molded to this climate. I like it here. Granted, I'd rather live in, like, Flagstaff, where it's not as hot. But there are people in different environments all around the world. We're adaptable. And what are we adapting ourselves to? What are we taking in to us? Let's go to John. Is everybody okay? We're all right? Okay. John 16. I'm going to start in 5. 16:5. But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. This is Jesus talking. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts, but it doesn't condemn. The Holy Spirit does not condemn us. The devil condemns, okay? Satan condemns us. The Holy Spirit exposes our wrong, but he doesn't rub our face in it. He doesn't, well, let's just say this. The definition of convict, because I looked it up, because a lot of times, you know, convict and condemn, they're used as synonyms, but really they mean two totally different things. Convict means to prove or find guilty of an offense or crime, to pronounce guilty by legal decision or by one's conscience. Condemn means to say in a strong or definitive way that someone or something is bad or wrong. To cause someone to suffer or live in difficult or unpleasant conditions. Does that sound like God? No. God does not want us or cause us to live in difficult or unpleasant conditions. That is the enemy. Conviction is the thought, you know, when you're doing something wrong and the Holy Spirit will convict you, it's that voice inside you saying, you know, what you're saying right there about that person, it's not, you shouldn't be saying that. That's not, you shouldn't be talking about that person. Condemnation is, look at you talking about someone again, and you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself leadership in the church. How dare you? Look at what you're doing. That is condemnation. The Holy Spirit does not do that. That is Satan. He is the one that makes us feel this big. That is not God's purpose. God's purpose is to say, you know what? You're doing this. You need to stop and get better because I have better plans for you. And you can't carry that with you where I want to take you. John 10. We're in John. Go back. Chapter 10. Sorry, Eric. I'm stealing a lot of your... It's a continuing part two. So John chapter 10, verse 1 says, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Verse 7, Jesus, so he tried to explain it to him. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That is Jesus. That is Jesus. The sheep, we are the sheep. He is the shepherd, okay? He is the good shepherd. The sheep only follow the voice of the shepherd. That's why it's so important for us to be spending time with God, because outside people are going to try to come in, just like he was saying, thieves and robbers that try to come in over the wall, trying to get the sheep out. But it says that they won't listen to him, they won't follow him because they don't know his voice. If you've ever seen like border collies, you know, they have like these competitions and things that you can train a border collie and cattle dogs and different kinds of dogs to herd animals. And if you've ever watched it, it's so interesting because like they do it a lot in Ireland, and the shepherd will be standing there and he has a little whistle in his mouth, or he does it with his own mouth. And there's this sheepdog that's, you know, far away. And all the shepherd does is he's just standing there and he's giving different whistles. And they, to the untrained ear, they just sound like whatever. But to that sheepdog, he hears those exact things and he turns and he'll guide the sheep this way. Then he'll turn and he'll guide the sheep that way, or he'll drive them back or forward or put them in the pen. But that dog is trained to understand what those different little whistles mean. And that shepherd and that dog have a understanding. And those whistles are unique for that dog. If you switch the dog, that other dog is not going to know what that shepherd is saying. That way, you know, the different herds don't get mixed up. If we aren't spending time with God, he's standing over there giving us the whistles and calls on what we're supposed to be doing. And if we don't spend time with him, we're wondering why we're just going around and just sitting there looking at the sky and we miss it. Or, you know, if we aren't recognizing his voice, we can let in other outside influences come in and stay. One of the awesome and main reasons that we need to know his voice is so that we can tell when it's not his voice. Because the enemy will come and try to steal, kill, and destroy whatever it is that we're doing. Like Mitch and I, all we wanted to do was go on a date. I mean, we weren't going and doing this, you know, evangelistic outreach or whatever. We just wanted to go on a date. And the devil's like, let's see if they have a good time. You know, whatever. And he came in and he tried to steal and kill our joy. And you know what? And I got so mad. And we just stopped in the car and we prayed. And it's like, no, the devil's not going to win. Thank you, God, that you win. You always win. And that's the end of that. And we believe and receive that the wallet's going to be returned. And it was. When we know his voice, we will be able to tell what's not his and squash it right away. So we can't give up when we mess up. Sometimes we do mess up. Sometimes we don't squash that voice. Sometimes we let it stay and fester and mull around inside of us. If I don't know, sometimes we take things and we just mess it up, like so bad. Like there was one day when I was at work, and one of my bosses, I have several, and one of them was walking down the hall, and I turned and I said hi to her, and she just kept going. Like, she didn't even look at me. She just kept going. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, she's mad at you. What did you do? Oh, she hates you. And oh, like, all these things, like, ridiculous things. Like, I mean, her and I have a good relationship. Why would she hate me? Why would, you know, it's like, oh, you must have done this. And I'm, all of a sudden, I'm rethinking everything that I've done. And like, but it wasn't. And I went and I asked her later, I was like, hey, are you okay? I said hi to you and you just kept going. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I must not have heard you. Something happened and I had to go take care of it. But if we let our mind or outside influences come in and affect our mind, it can ruin our whole day. I mean, all day long. I talked to her at the end of the day. So all day long, I wasn't even focusing on what I was doing. I was just thinking like, oh my gosh, why is she mad at me? Did I do anything? And then when she would walk by, I would be like all like avoiding her and stuff. And it wasn't even anything because I was listening to the wrong voice. I was listening to the wrong voice. And you know what? Sometimes we do. But we got to pick ourselves up and move on. Romans 8:26 says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He knows that we mess up. That's why he's here to help us. If you have a problem, the Holy Spirit will help us. Just ask him. Holy Spirit, I messed up again. Please help me make better choices. Help me to keep my mouth shut. And then when you're in that next situation, you'll hear that. All of a sudden, people start talking about somebody, and it's like, why don't you go to do something else? Or why don't you turn the conversation to something else? Like, there will be opportunities for you to be better next time. Hebrews 11, in our reading we recently just read, Hebrews 11, let's go there. Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 11 is what's called the faith chapter, and it talks about all these heroes of faith and how they did all these great things. And verse 33 says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength, and they became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. It says there that their weakness was turned to strength. These people were not perfect. They were not perfect. Noah in the ark. I mean, if you read after that, like, he got wasted one night in his tent and was just laying there, like, nude. You know, he had some problems. He messed up. Moses didn't even get to see the promised land because he messed up. I mean, but God still used them. Moses killed a guy, too. He killed someone. And yet God took that situation and used him. And he was the one that God used to part the sea and the plagues and the pillar of smoke and fire and all these great things. And yet, I mean, he was already a murderer when God used him. And when God called him, Moses said, well, I can't even talk. But God still used him. Their weakness was turned to strength. For example, being a Christian. I don't know if any of you, maybe it's just me, have experienced this, but people in the world think that just because you're a Christian or you go to church, that means that you're perfect. Like if you mess up, if you, heaven forbid, you mess up in front of anybody, they're like, oh, look at her. She's a Christian, you know. Ooh. It's like, I'm sorry. I'm human. You know, I do mess up too. I still put my pants on one leg at a time. It's not rapture me, you know, whatever. That's not how it works. God is still working on us. He's still working on us. As a parent, I mess up all the time with Sophia. And Lord help me. I mean, sometimes parents, you know, you may not react the right way all the time. In love, like, you know, you see on the movies and whatever, like, now, James, we don't do that. You know, sometimes it's like, Sophia, what are you doing? You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. And it's hard. And when you mess up, you react. And then afterwards, you hate yourself. You hate yourself and you feel awful. You know, like, geez, Sophia needs better. And I bet so-and-so, you know, that goes to church, that they would never, I bet they wouldn't react the way that I just did. But if we spend our whole time just hating ourselves and beating ourselves up for our mistake, we never have the opportunity to be better and do better the next time. We can't live our lives in the unworthy, Lord, I'm so unworthy, you know, like we're crying out to God and all this stuff. And yes, we are unworthy, but the blood has made us worthy. He says that we have been declared righteous because of our faith, because we believe. Yeah, we're junk compared to what Jesus was, but his blood was shed for us so that we could be made equals. We are sons and daughters of God. So the next time that we have that unworthy attitude when we mess up, like, God, I don't even deserve you. My kids don't deserve to have this, you know, whatever. It's like, okay. But the blood is enough. Stand up, forgive yourself, and move on. Don't do it again. Move on. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. The ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless lamb." 1 John 1:7-9, it says how the blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, every sin. The Bible says all sins, all people, for all time. Once and for all. The blood was enough once and for all. Not just for a chosen few, not just for, you know, the elect, the elite that had enough money or had enough whatever. It was for everybody. For all time. And it comes, the blood comes with benefits and with power. Verse 8 says that we can't claim to be perfect. We can't. We can't claim we're perfect. There's only one who is perfect, and that was Jesus. But the blood is enough for us. The blood is enough for us. The blood is enough for us. Hebrews 10 says that because of what Jesus did, we can now boldly enter, boldly come and spend time with God. I mean, before in the Old Testament, it was one priest one time a year that got to enter into the Holy of Holies. And even then, if he had one piece of, you know, what he had sin in him at all, he'd get struck dead and then that was that. We'll try again next year. That's not how God works with us. Because of Jesus, he tore that barrier apart. He tore it in two, and now we can come boldly to God. He says, come. I just want you. I paid for your sins and your junk with the blood because I just want you. I want you. Come to me. I will make you better. I will help you, but you gotta come. You gotta come. That's our Jesus. And we need to realize that we are the ones who Jesus loved. We are the ones who Jesus died for. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. We are his. We are not worthy, but he has declared us worthy. We have it. The blood is enough. Peter's been in our scriptures a lot. Peter denied Christ basically to his face. I mean, they were there in the same courtyard and they were asking him, you know, don't you know that guy over there? You talk like him. I'm pretty sure we saw you with them. And he denied Jesus. And this was like him and Jesus were close. They were close. But he denied him to his face. And yet, In Matthew 16:18, Jesus was the one that said to Peter, which means rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it was to Peter that Jesus said, you must forgive 70 times 7, because he knew. You don't think Jesus didn't know? We're close, man, but you're going to mess up. But you know what? The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. You can mess up, but the blood is enough. And he said, upon this rock, I am building my church. He is building. He was building Peter. And if you've ever built a tower with blocks, sometimes a few of the blocks fall off. But you know what? If you want to build it, you pick those blocks up again and you keep going. So say this after me. My God is building me. Sometimes a couple of our blocks fall off. We mess up. But God is building us. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why? Because we are the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. God is building his church. He said, I will build my church. And the blood is what perfects us, not us. Thank God for the blood. We'd never make it. We never would. There's no way. We couldn't pay for it enough. We couldn't earn it enough. But we have it. We have the blood. The gates of hell will not prevail against us because we are the church. There's that song. It's an older song, but it says, let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. And it's taken from Joel 3:10. Where it says, let the weak say I'm strong. And 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, take joy in weakness, for in your weakness, he gives us strength. When I am weak, he is strong. So, not that we should be happy that we have struggles, but sometimes we just need to have stuff that we give to God, and sometimes there has to be things that there's no other way that it could be fixed other than God. Like Mitch's wallet coming back. There's no other way other than God that that could have happened. I mean, at the skate park? Some lady found it at the skate park. What is a lady doing at the skate park? You know, I don't know. But it was there. Sometimes we have stuff that only God can fix. And when we give it to him, he says, I'll turn that into a strength. I'll turn that around. Because what did Jesus say? He said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. So if we have weaknesses, struggles we're dealing with, fine. You know, knowing we have a problem is the first step into fixing it. Once you realize, you know, you got a booger hanging out your nose, now you can get rid of it. Okay? You know, once we realize there's an issue, let's start working on it and get rid of it. Give it to God, and he will help us work through it so we can level up. Because there's people around you in your life that need you. That's why. Because there's people in your life that need you. And the Bible says, and I forget which scripture it is, but that, you know, the things that we go through are so that we can help others who go through the same thing, who are going through the same thing. There's a saying that I think is really awesome. And some of you may have heard it. It says that God doesn't call the perfect. He perfects the called. God doesn't call us because we're perfect. He knows that we're not. Otherwise, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. We wouldn't have needed the blood. If we are perfect, he knows that we're not. But in him, as we walk with him, as we grow with him, as we fellowship and spend time with him, he exposes the things in us and says, you know, you can't have that. You can't be doing that anymore. And he makes us better. He leads us down the path of righteousness. We're still in Hebrews. Go back to chapter 10. Hebrews is really good. If you haven't had a chance to read it, read it. Hebrews 10:29 says, just think. Actually, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, verse 29, just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. We can't trample on the blood. We can't, you know how I was saying that just because we have God's love and his forgiveness, it's not an excuse to sin. It's not a get out of jail free pass, you know, or go on to go or whatever the heck, you know, that. It's not an excuse. It's not a free license to do whatever we want. The blood is there so that when we mess up, we don't have to start from block one. We just say, God, I'm sorry. Please help me. And we move on. We get to walk with him, keep walking with him. We have God's grace. And grace is defined as what? Undeserved, unmerited favor. We have God's grace. We didn't earn it, but it's ours. We didn't buy it, but we have it anyways. We have it. So thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 13:13. And this is my last scripture. Verse 12. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let's go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. Verse 15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. We have the blood of Jesus, who washes and cleanses all sins away for all people for all time. Let's just be thankful. Let's be thankful for that. I mean, God knows, just like he knew Peter was going to mess up. But yet he said, I'm building a church on you. I'm building you up. And the gates of hell will not prevail. It's the same. He knows our faults. He knows when we slip up. But he says, you know what? I'm building you. I'm building you up. That's why I gave you the blood. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said that we are to confess our sins, to turn from our wicked ways and be done with it. So if we have an issue, a problem, we mess up, just give it to God. God, you saw what I just did. I'm so sorry. Help me not to do it again. I just confess that I'm yours. I'm yours. And move on. Because we don't have time to wallow in self-guilt and self-pity and all that other junk. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to close in prayer. And if there is anybody that needs prayer for anything, I invite you to come up and we will pray with you. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life, as the King of your life, or if you believe in him but you never put him on that place of honor, I invite you to come and do that today. Because the blood is enough. The blood is enough for us. Whether we messed up, you know, 2 minutes before we got here, in the car ride over here, whether we're a liar or a murderer or an adulterer, whatever it is, the blood is enough for us. The blood is enough for you. He says, I didn't call you because you're perfect. I called you because I just want you. Lord, we come to you today and we just thank you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Just tell him that. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for your blood, Jesus, that washes me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I know that on my own, I am not worthy. I am not worthy, but your blood, Lord, your blood has made me worthy. Your word says that the blood has washed us white as snow. And so I just thank you. I accept your forgiveness. And Lord, help me now to forgive myself. Help me to move on from the things that I've done wrong. I release all guilt. I release all shame. I release all anger and self-condemnation. I give it to you, God. You know exactly what we struggle with. You know it all. You know it all. We give it to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, help us. Your word says that if we ask for wisdom, that you will give it to us. Lord, give us wisdom to hear your voice, to recognize your voice, and to turn away when it's not you. We just need you, God. Your word says that you're coming for a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And we just say, we're yours. We're yours. We pledge allegiance to your name, Jesus. We are yours. Hallelujah. So, Lord, right now, I just pray a blessing over each person that's here. I pray, Lord, that whatever struggle that they're dealing with, whatever personal issue that they're dealing with, and they're all different. I just pray and thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. That as they live and they walk every day, that your Spirit will guide them and expose and guide them onto the right path, exposing what shouldn't be there and revealing what does need to be there. We thank you that every day we are becoming more and more and more like you. Renew our minds, transform our minds. We love you so much, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, if there's anything that you're dealing with, any sin that you know that you've got, whether you got like an issue with anger or with lying or anything, whatever, you know what it is. Self-condemnation, self-hate, whatever it is, right now, just you and God, it's personal. Nobody else needs to know. Just right now, you just tell God, Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you, Lord. Help me. Help me. I need your help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Everybody take a deep breath and say, I'm forgiven. Take another deep breath and say, he loves me. Again, if you need prayer, please feel free to come. Thank you, Jesus. And you're with your own words right now, just start thanking him that you are forgiven. Be thankful that you are forgiven. Be thankful that you are free. As we preached last Sunday, he took our place and we can go home. Hallelujah. He took our place. He took our place. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, as we go from this place today, help us to be aware. I mean, sensitive and aware of the fact that you took our place. And we are free by the blood of the Lamb. Help us, Lord, to be appreciative of that and to show our appreciation by living for you. Lord, that you would pay such a price with your own blood to set us free. Lord, we must show appreciation for that with our life. And not to just go our own way, but to follow you and to go your way. And Lord, we just thank you for it. Pray, Lord, that you'll remind us daily of the fact that we are to walk with you, to talk with you, to fellowship with you, to appreciate what you've done for us. And we bless you, Lord. We bless your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Again, the 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have Spirit Fire worship. It's the informal time of just praise and worship and seeking the Lord. And if you can come at 6 tonight, you will be blessed. God bless you. Have a really super duper week. Love on about 100 people, okay? Give them all a big kiss and a hug. Tell them you appreciate them. God bless you.